And God is interested in families. Amen. He's interested in families. He's not just interested in preachers, even though he needs preachers. He's interested in families. One of the reasons God chose Abraham, because he said that, I chose Abraham because I know what he's going to do. He's going to teach and instruct his children. And we must do the same thing. Because the scripture said in Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, and if you are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So as Abraham was a great father and communicated the message that he was given to his children, we must do the same thing. We must continue to communicate and also continue to pray for them. There are many voices in the world that are trying to pull and distract, keep people from their plan and the destiny that God has for them. And so we must continue to pray and stand in the gap, intercede for them, so that the voice of God becomes louder than any other voice. Can you say that with me? That the voice of God becomes louder than any other voice. And people that are not following God is because the voice of God is not loud. You know, people that have a passion for God, his voice is loud within them. His word is alive within them. And so we have to keep telling the story till we bring people from out of darkness. And many of us can testify where we come from, where God has brought us from. You know, we used to sing the song, he brought me out of the, took me out of the miry clay and placed my feet on a rock to stay. Amen. And so we must continue to do that. Why? Because God wants your life to be established. He wants you to know why you're doing what you're doing and do it with gusto. Amen. Praise the Lord. So in 1 Peter chapter number 3, if you will, turn there. And if you want to know about the Christmas story, Matthew chapter 1 through chapter 2, then also Luke chapter 1 and 2, go back and read the story over and over again. But it was prophesied that Jesus was going to come way back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. God said after Adam and Eve disobeyed God, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, he said that he was going to send someone here into the earth. Amen. Satan thought he had all of mankind because he had the first two. He got them to bite. Did you hear what I said? He got them to bite for what he was selling. And you know, one thing I found about the devil, you probably will never see the devil manifested in the flesh. I say 99% of the people, 99.9% of people will never see the devil in the flesh. But guess what? The devil is a spirit also. He's an angelic spirit. And where spirits are concerned, there's still communication that takes place. You know, when I was growing up as a little kid, they used to have, you know, different things. The red devil this and the red devil that, and always had the devil with a pitchfork. And but, you know, that's not the image of the devil. That's just what people came up with him. But that's not the devil of the Bible. The devil of the Bible is an angel. He's a fallen angel. And he's against everything that God is for. That's why he's against mankind. He hates you and I. You know why? Because we took his place. In heaven, there were three angels. You had one angel, you had Michael. You had Gabriel, and you had Lucifer. You have one that's he proclaimed the word of God. You have one who proclaims the word of God. Who is it that came to Mary and talked to her? And who is it that came to the different ones in Matthew and talked to them? Was that Gabriel? Gabriel came and talked to them. So he proclaimed the word of God. Then you had Michael, who's an archangel. He's a warrior. And then you had Lucifer, who's a worshiper. Amen. Who was a worshiper. But he fell from his place because he got lifted up in pride. And the scripture tells us that he fell from his place. And in John chapter 4, the scripture said, the Father, Jesus said this, the Father is seeking such to worship him. Satan used to lead worship in heaven. Guess what? Heaven had been missing a worship leader. And God said, you know what? I want some worship coming out of you people here in the earth. Oh, my God. And so Satan hates that. That's why he don't want you to worship. He don't want you to worship God. He don't want you to just live for him. He don't want you to sing to him, because you remind him of where he used to be. And guess what? There is no hope for him. Jesus did not die for Lucifer. Amen. Or for Satan. In Spanish, what is it? Diablo. He did not die for him. There is no hope for him. There is no hope for the angels that fell with him. But there is hope for mankind. Amen, somebody. And so here in the 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Where am I at here? I thought I had it marked in my Bible. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse number 12. It says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready. Everybody say, always be ready. Always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may, what? May be ashamed. For it is, what? Better, if it is the will of God to suffer for doing what? Than for doing evil. So the scripture says here that verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense. You know, people have a tendency, if they don't know God, they have a tendency to try to make you think you're a second-class citizen if you say you're a Christian. That somehow or another you just got left out in the backwoods, or you just came into town and fell off the back of a turnip truck and you don't know what's going on. But actually, that's not the case. They're the ones that don't know what's going on. Amen? And so be ready to give a defense and for the hope that you have within you. You know, because of what Adam did, it was necessary that Christ should come. Because there was no man on the earth that could change man's condition, because we were all defiled. There's none righteous, not one. So there had to come a righteous one. And the only one that could come, Jesus said, lo, I come in the volume of the book. I delight to do your will. He took on flesh and blood and became like us, and descended and came down here to the earth for you and you and you and you. He came for us, as John chapter 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. Guess what? There weren't any Christians. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish. Did you know God is interested in you winning? God is interested in you being a world overcomer. Amen. And he did everything that was necessary so that you could live that way while you're here on this earth. Not just you, but any man that is born here into this earth, that when they hear the story and they accept Christ, they can live above these beggarly conditions, live above them, and walk in a place of dominion here in this earth. Amen. And so, see, when God created the first man and he placed him here in the earth, he gave him two main things to rule and to win with here in this earth. Number one thing he gave man was, he gave him authority. God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Let them have what? Dominion. And that means we're supposed to rule. Mankind was created to rule, to dominate. Not, and God tells us what we're to dominate. We're not to dominate one another. The world is pretty good at trying to dominate one another. Matter of fact, my military is bigger than your military, and we're going to whip you into submission. Matter of fact, I tell you what, we're coming over to your house, over to your country, and if you're afraid of us and because you know what we have, then you just go ahead and submit and say, no, that's all, that's not necessary. We'll just go ahead and submit to you. God never created mankind to live that way. Now hear this, it becomes necessary that you live that way because we're here in this world. And if you don't have a big military, there are going to be some people come make you submit. Amen. You know, some people, like I said, that Christianity is not the only quote unquote religion in the world. And there are some people that don't believe, that believe that you shouldn't exist on the earth. So sometimes you got to fight to stay alive. Amen. You need a big bazooka for some people. You know, some people believe it's their passion in life to get rid of everybody that's not like them. You know, suppose Christians were like that. Man, I tell you. Hear this. It makes a difference what message that you know and what you live by. So the scripture said, be ready to give a defense of the hope that is within you. Why do you live the way you live? Why are you committed to this? Why do you get up on Sundays and go to church? Why do you participate in this and participate in that? Why do you go witness to other people? It was amazing to me a couple of weeks ago when we went Christmas caroling. As we were going Christmas caroling, some people walked out, and one particular lady, she came out. She had moved down from New Jersey. She said, I've never heard Christmas carols sung in the neighborhood since I was a child. This is a grown person. I've never heard it since I was a child. Hear this, people. We can never get to the place where we stop telling the story. Hear this. His story is your story. Amen, somebody. Sometimes we think we're separated from Christ, but no, we are joined to him. The scripture said, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. He enabled you to be and do what you do today. Amen. So we got to continue to tell the story. Somebody said, oh, has it come to that again? Yes, it's come to that again. Get excited. Amen, amen, somebody. Amen. Hey, hear this. The story. You have a story to tell. People want to know about history. Want to know about history. Well, I heard somebody did a little play on that word history one day, and they just capitalized the word H and made it two words, his story. That's history. Tell his story. Because if you don't know his story, it don't matter about the other stories. Amen. If you and hear this. If you're not a part of God's family, it don't matter what family you're a part of. Amen. So we have to continue to tell of the hope that is within us. I said this before. As the world becomes more and more secularized, the church needs to continue being the church. We have to continue, as Matthew chapter 5 talked about, we have to continue being the light in the midst of a dark world. We have to continue being the salt of the earth. Amen. We have to continue being that and never be ashamed, like the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is what? It is the power of God unto to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For therein what? Therein the gospel is, verse 17 of Romans chapter 1. Therein the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As the scripture said, the just shall live by faith. Or the just shall live by his faith in God. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Sometimes we leave the God part out and say, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith in his God. Amen. Let's look at back in John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse number 3. Now hear this. When I'm ministering the word of God, it is good for you to take good notes. I should say take copious notes. Unless you got a photographic memory. Because what I'm telling you about, hear this, what I'm telling you about, we could miss the whole thing if we don't know how to tell it once we leave here. Amen. And then, like I said, be able to tell of the hope that is within us. And don't let somebody make you feel like you're a second-class citizen. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Hey, I'm first class, brother. Amen. John chapter 3, beginning with verse 3 through verse 7. Of course, this is Nicodemus that came to Jesus. Then Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, you know what? I got to go back and read what Nicodemus said. Verse 2. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, or teacher, we know that you are a teacher come from God. And that's good right there. This guy has some revelation. You are a teacher that has come from God. In other words, you could also say that this man has been around many teachers. He's been around many teachers. You know, I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit is something else. He's heard lots of preaching. But he come to Jesus and said, you are a teacher who's come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. I mean, this is a man who has some insight, who has been thinking, who the Holy Spirit has been communicating with. And say, recognize this. Perhaps Nicodemus was raised in church. He was raised in the ways of Judaism. He understood this. So he's been exposed to this all his life. This is what he grew up in. Okay? So he's heard lots of preaching. He's gone to synagogue after synagogue after synagogue after synagogue in his lifetime. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes on the scene. Did you know when Jesus shows up, it changes everything? When Jesus shows up, it messes your life up. Amen, somebody. When Jesus shows up, you have to choose. Oh, glory to God. I said that was good right there. I said when Jesus shows up, you have to choose. Why? Because when Jesus shows up, you see the light. When Jesus shows up, I'm telling you, darkness began to be pulled back, and all of a sudden you begin to see into the plan and the purposes of God. And you have to choose this day, who are you going to serve? Who are you going to live for? And so here we have Nicodemus. He's come, he said, hey, you're from God. Because we know Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, if you're going to be preaching and talking about the Lord, you need to recognize that God is with you. Even if you're just someone in the workplace, you got to recognize that if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's with you. He's for you, and he's in you. Oh, glory to God. And you know what? That gives me confidence. I can't tell you the number of times recognizing that God is with me. I've been thrown into situations in life and said, how am I going to get over this? How am I going to come through this? And I realized that God was with me. I remember one time just off the top of my head. I'm still at home back in the woods of Virginia. I'm still there. And my mom have a nervous breakdown. I'm the oldest at the time of five kids. The oldest of five at the time. My mom was pregnant with she just had her sixth. And my mom had a nervous breakdown. And so all of a sudden, we find our life is very chaotic. And I realize, because of the little teaching I'd already gotten about God, that God had a plan for our life, and that God will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And, you know, you always walk in the light that you have. No one would stand up and say at that time that I was a theologian. Amen. See, sometimes people think they got to know everything about God before they start living for God. No, you just need to walk in the light that you have. Oh, hallelujah. You know what? And what you don't know, God takes care of that. He covers your back. Amen. And so just walking in the light that I have, and I just began to see God operate and how he protected, how he made a way, how he opened doors, all those things, just in that little experience with the little knowledge that I had that God is with me. To the point that I grew up in life, and all of a sudden he's called me into ministry, and all of a sudden I find myself thrown on the stage where I'm speaking in behalf of somebody else that had 2 million people in their church. 2 million. And I'm speaking in their absence. You know what I said when I got off my seat? I said, "Come on, Holy Ghost. By myself, I ain't nothing. By myself, I can do nothing. By myself, I know nothing. By myself, I am nothing. But I'm telling you, when you got God with you, it changes everything." Hallelujah. And it don't make a difference who's sitting in the audience. When God is with you, boy, he'll turn you and use you. And people going, my God, where did all that come from? I said, it came from the Holy Ghost. For God was with him. I want you to know today that God with you, if you've accepted Christ. Let's continue reading. Now Nicodemus said, no one can do these signs unless God is with him. Evidently, these signs were not being done in the synagogues that Nicodemus had gone to up until he met Jesus. Jesus answered and said in verse 3, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God exists. Did you realize that? The kingdom of God is a rule, a realm of authority. It exists today. Amen. It exists today. I want to go off on that, but I better keep reading. And Nicodemus, verse 4, said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said unto you, you must be born again. One translation said, you must be refathered from above. Oh, hallelujah. You must be refathered from above. Jesus said to Nicodemus, basically translated, interpreted, listen here, Nicodemus, you understand natural things, but what I'm talking to you about is on another level. And this is the level that you were created to live on. You know what? Ever since Adam messed things up, for the most part, mankind were dumbed down. I'm telling you, running with the devil will make you dumb. He'll have you doing dumb, crazy things. I mean, just look at the news. You're like, why in the world would they do that? You know, I saw one thing, speaking of one thing that is dumb, I remember one day I was watching the news and they had a video camera. Just so happened to have a video camera at this bank. And also had video camera along the street. And these guys, they pulled up to an ATM machine and they pulled it out the wall and they had chains on it, right? And so they're going down the street pulling the ATM machine, and a policeman on the night watch just happened to see them and pull them over and said, did you think you guys were going to get away with this? Big old ATM machine bouncing down the road as... and the thing, you know, the policemen had their cameras on them, right? The policemen, they had the camera, and the guys laughed. They said, well, we thought no one would notice. I'm like, ah. Yeah, and they were laughing about it, too. You know, I said, we almost got away with it. You know, that's why prison is filled with people like that almost got away with it. Yeah. Jesus said, we must be born again. We must be refathered from above. See, even though God was working in the midst, working with Israel, and then working with other men and women throughout the ages, there are some things that were left out. And Jesus came and he began to give some revelation about who you are and what your condition is. And looking on John chapter 8, there's a discussion going on between Jesus and some Pharisees. And Charles Capp said, and some Sadducees. And so, as they said, they were sad, you see. And there's a discussion that's going on because the revelation that they had at this time for them was that we are Abraham's seed. And they thought, well, because we're Abraham's seed, we are real special. And Jesus began to open up their understanding. Like I said, when Jesus shows up and he began to communicate, I'm telling you, have some decisions to make. Beginning with verse 37 of John chapter 8, Jesus said, I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. Uh-oh, some revelation coming. Can you imagine them just looking at one and saying, our father? You mean Billy? You mean Bob? You mean Mohammed? You know, this one, that one? You know, Jesus goes on. Then they answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But you seek now to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, We were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. What did he say? I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he what? He sent me. Verse 43. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil. Revelation is coming. Jesus, you know, all Jesus could do was speak the truth. And he tell these guys, the religious elite of the day, you are of your father, the devil. You know, it's a good thing they didn't have a rock close by. That'd have been a rock party. You are of your father, the devil, and his desires, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him when he speaks it. Oh, my God. He began to open these guys' understanding and let them know what your real condition is. Jesus began to talk about something that the scribes, the Pharisees, they were never talking about. In other words, Jesus began to explain why he came here to the earth. There had to be a first coming, and he came. Jesus coming to the earth is not only a biblical fact, it's also a historical fact that he came. You can go back and do research and see there are many, many references to his coming here to the earth. It's not just a biblical fact, it's a historical fact. We have been given the commission of telling that Jesus came, number one, and number two, that he's coming again. Amen, somebody. He's coming again. Now, to let you know concerning your responsibility, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you will. Not just yours, but our responsibility. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse number 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. You and I have been given a ministry to go reconcile others back to God, to go tell the story. Somebody said, that just the fivefold ministry that's mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4? No, that's mentioned. That means everyone who accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Verse 19, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Look at somebody say, hello, ambassador. Amen. You are an ambassador for Christ. Let me tell you one thing about an ambassador. We have an ambassador into many different nations. Most recently, we have somebody, we open up an embassy in Cuba, reopen the embassy in Cuba. And so in other words, diplomatic relationships exist. Now hear this. An ambassador does not go and speak his own mind. He speaks the mind of the country that he represents. He speaks the mind of the policies that the country stands for. You know, too many times, I think where the church gets into trouble in America is people want to give up and give their opinion. Ambassadors are forbidden from giving their personal opinion publicly. That's the quickest way to be fired. I'll tell you what I think. No, when you ask an ambassador what he thinks, he said, my country's position is. People have taken great liberty and ignoring what's in the scripture. I'm talking about religious leaders. And they come to the place where they begin to reason after the flesh. There are some things that God is diametrically opposed to that some people say, well, actually, I don't see no problem with it. You're not a good ambassador. You know, the sad thing about working for God is God will fire you, but he won't dismiss you immediately. It's sad to be fired and not know it. You know, Saul was anointed of God. He was the first king of Israel. Saul was anointed of God. He served as king for like 40 years. But he was only anointed for two. I don't ever want to be speaking for God. He's not with me. And I've been fired. No. So we are ambassadors to tell the story about him. And let people know what they need to do because of what he's already done. Continuing in verse number 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's our message. That's why Christ came. So that we can tell people to be reconciled to God. Verse 21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the what? Righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now hear this. You don't have to become what you already are. You hear what I said? You don't have to, some people don't think, well, I'm all right. No, you're not. You're not all right. And some people are afraid to confront people and tell them the truth. Well, you know, they may not like me. Forget that. God said, if you're ashamed of me, guess who will be ashamed of you? I don't want God being ashamed of me. I don't want to get into heaven by the skin of my teeth. Amen. Oh, no. When I walk in there, I look forward to hearing the Lord say, well done. I look forward to coming in and the Lord look at me and say, well, what you got to say for yourself? Amen. I want to be a good representative of his. So we have been given the commission of telling why he came. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 through 6. It says, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame or dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth. That's what we're supposed to be manifesting, the truth. Not supposed to be walking deceitfully. Manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled or hidden, it is hidden or veiled to those who are perishing, whose mind the God of this world. Some people say, I just don't understand, man. They don't seem like they get it. That's why you got to pray for people. That's why Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 1 that prayed that the eyes of their understanding would be open and enlightened. Because unless the Holy Spirit pulled the blinders back, they won't see. And so before you go tell the story, just pray and ask God for divine appointments. That God is, their hearts are already prepared. And to hear the story, the message. When you get through telling the story, they have to make a decision. Amen. I choose to follow him, to obey him, or I'm going to keep going the way I've been going. You know, some people, they just do this to you. Well, you just made a decision. You know what? I don't feel bad when people make a decision not to follow Christ. I've done my part in telling the story. And then on the second part, I got to make sure I'm living right. Hear this. I can't be shacking up, running around with this one and that one and all those kind of things. And then go tell somebody about the Lord. Amen. I got a prostitute in a hotel room somewhere. Then I want to talk to her about the Lord. What kind of mess is that? That's misrepresentation of the gospel. Yeah. That you got a problem with your flesh. You got to get over that. Amen, somebody. Oh, glory to God. Now hear this. And it's possible. Just like Jesus had God with him, you need God with you. Amen, somebody. Yeah, praise the Lord. You know, that's all kind of foolishness and craziness that you need not fall for in the name of Christianity. There's some preachers, traveling preachers, that go travel, and some ministers. I've been told that some ministers, they have church prostitutes that when the man travel alone, they send them to take care of their physical needs. I'm like, y'all got this thing messed up. Yeah, they just messed it. Well, even if they ain't got no wife, you know, you just got to keep yourself straight. Keep yourself pure, unspotted. The scripture said, from the world. Amen. And hear this. God ain't into all this midnight rambling stuff. I mean, if you want to live like a sinner, why get saved? You get saved because you want to obey God and his plan for your life. You want to walk in the fullness of it. Amen, somebody. And people make excuses for all kind of things. Bottom line, you're not walking in the truth. You're letting the flesh get the upper hand. And we don't have to allow that. Amen. I'm telling somebody, I said, well, my flesh is really ruling me. I tell you what, go on a fast. Go on a fast. Lock yourself up. Get yourself in the Word of God. Get yourself some Bible tapes, some CDs or whatever, and begin to spend some time worshiping God. Rekindle that relationship that you had with him before. Amen. And you know what? You can get over the flesh. The flesh is very weak. You know, the only reason the flesh has any strength is because you keep feeding it. Amen. You know what? I have issues too if I sit around and watch pornography and all that other stuff. I have problems with my flesh. But I travel all over the world. I don't get involved in all that mess. I live under God. Amen. I can't live under God sitting there looking at some naked women and all that kind of stuff. Or women looking at naked men and all that. What are they all about? That's flesh stuff. You're better than that. God has raised you up above that. Amen, somebody. Somebody, oh, yeah, but look at this. Look at her. Listen here. You go back and read the Proverbs. It's always good to go back and read the Proverbs. A lot of wisdom in that. Just reading a proverb a day. You know, one thing that really helped me, kept me from living one of them running around in Moria lifestyle, is I read in that one day, I think it's in the sixth proverb, where Solomon talked about, and of course this can go either way, man or woman, but he talked about the woman. He said, you know, like when you, first of all, when you commit fornication, you wrong your soul. You mess yourself up, because there's images that in you, I mean, you need the Holy Ghost to get that out of you. But if you keep playing with it, you know what the Holy Ghost is like. Okay, you ain't serious about this. But secondly, this is what really got me. It said that a man that committed fornication with a whorish woman, any kind of woman, you don't have to be, you just be a woman, he's basically reduced, his value is reduced to a piece of bread. I read that one and I thought, oh no, I'm more valuable than that. I don't know, the Holy Ghost just illuminated that to me. And I said, oh, no, I'm more valuable than that. I'm not going to be reduced to a piece of bread. And so when opportunity come, I said, oh, no, I ain't nobody's bread. Y'all ain't get that, did you? Amen. Praise the Lord. So if our message is hid from those who are lost. When the message, hear this, when the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, shine unto them, change began to take place. When we become a Christian, we have to embrace becoming a Christian. Live like it 24/7. Amen, somebody. Hallelujah. And then we have to do this. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Verse number 18 through 20. Jesus came and spoke to them, this is after his resurrection, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. I made a statement earlier, I was alluding to two things God gave man. I didn't finish that. First thing he gave man was authority. Second thing he gave man was seeds to determine his destiny. Authority and seeds. Amen. Now, here Jesus said, because Adam had allowed himself to bow down to Satan, not only did Adam have to bow down, all of mankind had to bow down. Why? Because one man contained every man. And when he bowed, we all bowed. That's why Jesus had to come. And he says, now that this authority, Jesus had got this authority back. He said in Revelation chapter 1, he said, I am he that was dead, but I am alive, and I have the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Oh, glory to God. I tell you, Jesus whipped the devil. Colossians 2:15, he spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. 1 John 3:8, the second part of that, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy, liquidate, reduce to zero the works of the devil. Hallelujah. As we're about to wrap this up, go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations. We are, hear this, Christians, we are called to colonize the earth. We are called to colonize the earth. Just like the colonial powers went about colonizing, you know, the Africa and the South America and different places, we are called to colonize the earth with this message. Now, you know, it's amazing. People that are part of Islam, they feel the same call. For Allah, but Allah and Jesus, not the same ones. Amen. Some people say, well, they all calling on God, but we ain't talking about the same person. Amen, somebody. Go ye therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and then teach them to observe all things that I've commanded you, And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I'm with you always. So we have to keep telling the story. And as I conclude, why should we keep propagating the gospel? Why should we go into all the earth? Because Jesus is coming again. He's coming again. Man need not live here on the earth and not know why he's here. God has a plan. He has a purpose for every one of us. And Jesus is the beginning of you walking in the fullness of God's plan for your life. Amen. He's not a baby anymore. He's a resurrected Lord of glory with power and dominion over all the power of the enemy. And he's delegated that power and authority to the church. He tells you to go in my name. Cast out demons. People don't know that folks got demons. They're trying to treat it with all kinds of drugs. You ain't going to get no demon out of no person with no drugs. Oh, I'll just sedate them. Well, I'm telling you, when the devil's ready to manifest, them drugs will have no effect. Some people need the demons cast out of them, and you can do that in the name of Jesus. Mark chapter 16. You can cast them out, every one of them. Jesus said, I give you power and authority over all the power of the enemy. If nothing that was left out. And people try to bring a lot of fear and said, oh, these are the last days. And there's a, you know, people love, I don't know why they love to be scared. There are some demons that are about to be released now. These demons are bad. They are 10 times badder than any demons that ever manifest yet. Apollyon. All these other names they come up with. And they'll never talk. When people are talking about that fearful stuff like that, they don't talk about what God has done. They don't magnify that. You talk about all that kind of stuff, and then say, well, we need to take up another offering. Oh, you into taking up offerings. You need to tell people who they are. That way they don't have to live in fear. They can live above circumstances, not beneath them. Because if God be for you, who can be against you? Oh, hallelujah. I want you to know, child of God, that God is for you. God is with you. God is in you. And God has great plans for you. He has great plans for every person on the earth. And none of them include defeat. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, if anything, you need to stick your chest out more so now than ever before, because you are somebody. Amen. You're born from above. Amen. You're not born from beneath. Just like God, Jesus was born from above. You have been refathered from above. Amen. And things have changed. The playing field has been radically changed. You're not just average and ordinary now. You're somebody. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you get anything out of the word today? Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody say, if God be for me, no one can succeed against me. Because God has plans for me. And none of them include defeat. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So this Christmas, pray and ask God for divine appointments. And be ready to tell the story. Why you have this hope within yourself. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Anybody here, you got any sickness or discomfort in your body? Just lift your hand up right now. Praise the Lord. Okay. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Somebody told me that a preacher that just preaches and never lay hands on people is just a lecturer. Guess what? I'm more than a lecturer. I got two hands. Amen. So if that's you, you raise your hand. Come down here. I'm going to lay hands on you in Jesus' name. And we're going to watch God. Amen. Hallelujah. Dave, how you doing? Your knee all right, that left knee? You're not kicking into football right now, but okay. It's better. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And sister, if you want to come down, you can come down too. I saw you raise your hand too. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I just preached a message. We got power and authority over all the power of the enemy. I'm telling you, where your body is concerned, God has already done something for that. The scripture said, by his stripes that he bore when he went to that cross, by his stripes, you are the healed. Amen. Hallelujah. Lift your hands to the Lord right now and say, Lord, I thank you for your healing power. I believe that when hands are laid on me, in Jesus' name, this condition has to leave my body. Regardless of what goes on in my family, it has to leave my body. Sickness and disease does not run within the family of God. I am a child of God. I'm born from above. And I receive my healing today. In Jesus' name.